Why do those of us who love dogs so much? That's one of many questions author Benoit Denizet-Lewis explored in a four-month trip in an RV with his golden retriever lab mix named Casey by his side. They visited dog parks, entered a dock jumping competition, underwent therapy that specializes in ways we saddle pets with our own problems, and they met dog rescuers, including Randy Grimm in East St. Louis. Benoit read him a poem from 19th century French writer Charles Baudelaire, who loved street dogs.
I sing the mangy dog, the pitiful, the homeless dog, the roving dog, the circus dog. I sing the luckless dog who wanders alone through the winding ravines of huge cities, or the one who blinks up at some poor outcast of society with its soulful eyes, as much to say, "Take me with you, and out of our joint misery, we will make a kind of happiness."
Benoit Denizet-Lewis's book about his road trip is Travels with Casey, My Journey Through Our Dog-Crazy Country. Yes, title inspired by John Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie. As we said, Benoit was looking for why Americans love dogs, also why his dog didn't seem to love him. But speaking of luckless dogs, he also asked, why don't Americans love dogs more? He met with Ingrid Newkirk, head of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, in their Norfolk, Virginia headquarters. In 2011, they euthanized 95% of the dogs in their shelter. In 15 years, they've put down 27,000. Benoit joins us from KQED in San Francisco. And you challenged Ingrid. You couldn't understand an organization that's supposed to love animals killing them.
I was actually really happy I was able to do that because I thought we had a really fascinating discussion about PETA's perspective on humans living with dogs. Because sort of in the best of all worlds to them, they think that most humans can't really be trusted to treat dogs well enough.
Well, like most shelters, PETA's is overwhelmed by abandoned dogs. I mean, we have met the enemy and it is us. I mean, it's people who mistreat and abandon dogs. And so what was the case she made for putting so many down?
Well, she was basically saying that most of the dogs that were coming into their shelter were unadoptable.
She further made the point, why not, you know, spend where you can on saving dogs that can be saved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things, though, and people will push back a little bit, you know, I read the passage about Randy Grimm and East St. Louis, and he's really a believer that with the right infrastructure and with the right care and love, that most dogs that are deemed unadoptable for some reason can actually find a home. It was amazing. When I first went there, I said to Randy, are we definitely going to see dogs today? And he sort of laughed at me and he said, oh, we'll see dogs. And we saw them everywhere. I mean, we rescued 8 puppies from an abandoned building. There was a crack addict who helped us, corral 2 more young strays that were running around. There were a lot of pregnant dogs that we saw. So we lured a very pregnant stray into a humane trap and rushed her to a vet. One of the most interesting parts to me were feral dogs who Randy wasn't even trying to rescue so much because he couldn't get close enough to them. And
these are dogs that weren't abandoned. They never had a family. They were born on the street.
They never had a family. And so and in East St. Louis in particular, it's kind of an urban prairie. So there's entire blocks where people don't live and they're just abandoned. So these dogs can find places to live there among the shrubbery or in these houses. But what Randy would do was that he would pour bags of dog food for several of these packs that he'd been following for years. So he was trying to keep these dogs fed and healthy. And really the only times that he would try to rescue those feral dogs would be when they get injured or if someone abuses them in some way.
Well, and it's not just East St. Louis. You also talk about going to the shelter in San Antonio, which in 2004 was named the country's deadliest. And they have an open-air euthanasia room, euthanasia by injection, the EBI room, where they literally are just putting animals to sleep and then a conveyor belt takes them away.
Yeah. That was one of the toughest days of my life to witness these beautiful, young, healthy, beautiful dogs get euthanized. I sat next to this woman who was crying, who said, my husband doesn't want the dog anymore. And she brought the dog, and the dog was in bad shape. They hadn't really cared for this dog. You know, and the folks from Austin Pets Alive and San Antonio Pets Alive, 2 rescue groups, were trying to convince her, saying, we'll help. We'll give you dog food. Please don't leave the dog here. She wouldn't take the dog back, and I watched them debating because they see so many of these. And they said, well, if we save this dog, there's some other sort of more adoptable dog that we're not going to be able to save today. And they went back and forth several times, and finally they decided, okay, we're going to rescue this dog, and we're going to find a home for this dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, in reading these passages, it's so clear that more education is needed because you quote writer Hal Herzog, who said that people primarily in the South don't like restrictions on their dogs any more than they like zoning, gun control, or laws that can keep you from carting little kids around in the back of an open pickup truck. Now, that's broad brush and unfair, but mm-hmm. you talk to people who seem to say that it's true that there are far more dogs abandoned in the South. In fact, they're being shipped up to the Northeast.
Yeah, so really in many shelters in the Northeast, you're going to find dogs who are shipped up. If you go to dog parks in the Northeast, you ask people where they got their dog, and it's, oh, Tennessee. You hear Tennessee a lot, Texas. It's been pretty amazing, and I think with the internet now, it's made it possible for people to really find a dog from a shelter, ship it up north. So there's been actually a lot of improvement in this area, but there's still so much misunderstanding about dog behavior. I mean, many people will bring a dog to a shelter and say, oh, this dog won't listen to me. He's purposefully upsetting me. There's still many people still believe that dogs misbehave out of spite. You know, I spent some time with Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, said, you know, America's neurotic dogs are a reflection of their neurotic owners. You know, we're spending a lot of money now medicating our dogs in the same way that we spend a lot of money medicating our children. And it's not a surprise as we increasingly see our dogs as family members and as kids. It's not a surprise that we would start, you know, medicating them in some of these same ways.
Benoit Denizet-Lewis, his book is Travels with Casey. I just want to say one thing. You questioned whether Casey loved you. And then very late in the book, you tell us how Casey was the one being with you when you battled your own addictions, which you've written about. And this soulful dog would lay there and sigh, and you actually take us to meet addicts who swear that they were able to get clean and quit because they wanted to do it for their dogs. So as a reader, you think, hey, actually, Casey maybe loved you a lot more than you give him credit for.
Yeah. And he was there through some dark times for me. And he did stay for me, which was so incredibly important as my life got more lonely and really sad. And, you know, one final thing. I mean, I spoke to many animal communicators and pet psychics, and I really wanted to believe in what they were saying. I didn't especially. But there was one who said to me, you know, when I was complaining to her that, you know, maybe my dog didn't love me enough, she said to me, Benoit, you know, I don't think that Casey was put on this earth to love you. I think that Casey was put on this earth and put in your life for you to learn how to love unconditionally. And I think that really hit home and rang true for me. And I think dogs do have all different kinds of roles in our lives, and that may be it for me.
Benoit Denizet-Lewis talking about his dog Casey. His book is Travels with Casey, My Journey Through Our Dog Crazy Country. Benoit, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.